This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. It can be very easy to live the Christian life on autopilot. When we take our focus off God's kingdom purposes, we can fall into all sorts of dangers. God sends us so many warnings to keep the faith in His Word. Today, Pastor Sam Horn will begin a sermon from Daniel chapter 12 titled, Resurrection Power. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
Daniel chapter 12. I found myself in a very odd circumstance this week as I was interacting with this text and working through the grammar of the text and all the things that you do behind the scenes when you prepare a message like this. I was interacting with the text. At the same time, I was reading a biography on the life of Adoniram Judson that has just come out, and I was again just impacted by all of the things that went on in his life for the sake of the gospel, the loss of almost all of his children, burying two wives while he was a missionary. I was just dumbfounded and just deeply impacted by what I was reading in the life of Adoniram Judson. And I know many of you have read biographies about him, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then on a very personal level, Beth and I have a family member who lives in Tampa who was deeply impacted by the hurricane that came through just a few days ago. And several days before this hurricane came, we began watching the news, and we began to realize that this individual's home was right in the path of the hurricane. And so we began appealing, please evacuate, please leave, please come. Different ones of our family reached out, please don't stay. Please don't dismiss the warnings. Please, please listen to what's being said on the news. You ever try to persuade somebody like that before the danger comes, before the crisis is at hand? Our whole Bible is full of how God does that to us. Please listen. Proverbs is a book of counsel that God gives to me and to you, in which He says, let me tell you what's coming. Let me tell you what's down the way. Please listen. And so when the hurricane came, this individual remained, and there was not catastrophic damage, but there was some serious issues that came about in the home because of this, and that person had to be evacuated. The National Guard had to come in, and thankfully, this individual is safe and sound, but there is a mountain of work to be done. So here I am, I'm reading Daniel 12, I'm reading Adoniram Judson, I'm dealing with this in our family, and some of you have been dealing with the same thing in your family. Maybe it was something that happened in Hurricane Helene just a few weeks ago, and you're trying to navigate, what do I do with family members that were caught up in Asheville or in Tennessee or who were devastated by what happened? Maybe it's much closer to home. Maybe it's what happened to you. Maybe it's what happened in your own life. And so as I was working through this text, I had the same question that Daniel has in verse 8 of this text when he says, oh my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? Oh Lord, what is going to happen? What's going to be the outcome of all of this? And when you ask that question, you're not asking that question sort of academically, right? I mean, when I'm just reading and working through the Hebrew text and all the commentaries I use, and I come across that question, it's almost academic. Oh, Daniel's asking a logical question, and it's all theoretical, it's all academic. And then God brings it deep, and He brings it passionately into your own life through something you're reading, and then He brings it to bear in the life of somebody you love or maybe even in your own life, and now the question is very different. Same question, but very different. God, I'm desperate. I want to know what is going to happen. And you know, some of you are here. Maybe it's not because of the hurricane. Maybe it's because there is some other storm that God has brought into your life. And you want to know, God, what is going to be the end of all of this? What is going to be the outcome of this? What are you going to do? Maybe there's something going on in your life medically. Maybe there's question about your employment. Maybe there's something that you sense is coming and you have no idea, but you are wondering, God, what is going to happen to me and what is going to happen to the people I love? Now, when you're in that moment and you get the kind of answer that Daniel got, it can almost feel like God is uncaring, God is unloving, and God is unconcerned. Because listen to the answer that he gets in verse 9. Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. In other words, this is divine speech, and I want to be careful how I say this. God is gently saying to Daniel, it's not yours to know. I know you want to know. I know it's desperate for you. I know as you think about what's going to happen to you and to your people based on the information you have been getting in chapter 7 and in chapter 8 and in chapter 9 and now in this last vision starting in chapter 10, it hasn't been what you expected. You thought you were going home. You thought this glorious kingdom was coming. You thought it was all over and the glory of Messiah would arrive and the kingdom would be established and everything you've been waiting for and hoping for and praying for would come to bear, but it's not going to happen yet. And the most important word in that sentence is what? Yet. So Lord, what is going to happen? I mean, I'm reading about all of these fearsome beasts, this kingdom that looks like a lion, and then this kingdom that looks like a bear that's ravaging, and this kingdom that looks like a leopard with four heads, and then this dragon-like kingdom that's going to smash everything. And then, Lord, you talk to me about one of those kingdoms, the third kingdom, the kingdom of Greece, and you reveal that there's going to be this arrogant ruler that's going to come up, and he's going to desecrate the temple that somehow is going to get rebuilt, and he's going to put a stop to the sacrifices that we have been praying for and longing for. I went to the lion's den over those sacrifices, praying that you would reestablish them, and now somebody's going to come and stop them again. And then, Lord, even more frightening is the vision that you sent an angel to give me, this last one, where I don't quite understand it, but somehow this isn't just about that guy at the end of the third kingdom. It's about a much worse guy coming at the very end who's going to actually make himself to be God. He's going to destroy everything I've been praying for. What is going to happen to us? What is going to happen to your people? And maybe it's not that stark for you, but it's every bit that intense for you, isn't it? Lord, I didn't anticipate getting this report from the doctor. What is going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my kids? How am I going to navigate my job? What's going to happen to my insurance? All of a sudden, you file the claim that you thought you'd been paying good insurance money for all these years, and you come back and you find out, oh, there's a little clause in fine print that I needed three magnifying glasses to read, and I'm being told I'm excluded. What is going to happen to me? And God appears silent. And whenever God is silent, we automatically assume something else. We assume that when he's silent, he's what? Absent. And I want us to remember as we come to a text like this that God is never absent. We're going to find this out in the text. There is always more to what God is up to than meets our human eye. We only see four or five things of the 10,000 things God is up to. At any given moment in our life, God is always at work accomplishing a magnificent mission through his Messiah, Jesus, for his great glory before the universe. I mean, God could have said to Daniel, and he didn't, but he could have said, Daniel, I already told you what I'm up to. Back in chapter 9, verse 24, I told you that I am up to bringing in Messiah, and when he gets here, he is going to do six wonderful, glorious things. And we looked at those things when we covered Daniel chapter 9. God is always at work using the trials and the difficulty and the suffering and even the persecution for our ultimate good and the good of others. And God will always present and give us strength and eternal vindication at the end of our suffering. You say, well, when is it going to end? Well, look at verse 1. And when you get to verse 1, you are going to find a word that is repeated four times. The word that's repeated four times in verse 1 is the word time. Do you see that? At that time. What time? Well, the time that we were just reading about in chapter 11, verse 40, at the time of the end. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince, who is charge of your people, and there shall be a time. You see, there's the second reference of this. What kind of time will it be? It will be a time of trouble. What kind of trouble? Such as never has been since there was a nation until that time. There it is again. But at that time, there's something else that's going to happen. Your people will be delivered. Well, who are those people? Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And so we have here in these four verses God's answer to Daniel's question. Daniel, there is coming a time. It is an appointed time. It is an orchestrated time. It is a time when there will be great trouble on earth, there will be a great war in heaven, and there will be a great deliverance of my people. There is an appointed time. You know, God's timetable is very different than mine. And if you're honest, it's very different than yours. And oftentimes, most of my praying is trying to get God to adjust his timeline. God, I need this, and I need it when? Now. I want it now. Do you not know that this is coming due? Do you not know that I have this? You said, if I prayed in your name, so I'm saying your name three times in this prayer to remind you. You said, if I could get two or three people to agree with me in prayer, and I've got them, and we're praying, so I need you to act now. And God is so gracious, isn't he? God is so kind. He is so patient. He says back to us, I have a time. So what do we do about this time? Well, there are three things I want us to see here about this time and how it affects us that I think will give us courage and strength. At least that's my hope, that it will give us courage and strength, not from anything I say this morning, but really from what the Lord has to say. What is going to happen at that time? Well, the first thing is that there is an unseen reality, and the unseen reality is this. God's warrior will arise to fight for God's people in heaven. There is an appointed champion in heaven that is going to wage war on behalf of God's people. Well, who is that? Well, look at verse 1. At that time shall arise Michael. And then we're told who Michael is. Now, we've met Michael already in the book of Daniel. Remember when the angel came to Daniel, and Daniel had been praying, and then this angel comes dragging in, bedraggled. He's like, I'm so out of breath. I'm sorry I'm late. I was detained. There was an enemy angel that came against me, and he almost overcame me, and I was on my way here. In fact, I was sent the minute you prayed. The very first moment of your prayer, God tapped me and said, I got a message, take it to Daniel, and off I went, and halfway here, I got accosted, and you can see my feathers are all ruffled here, and I was almost done, if it hadn't been for Michael. Wow. So we met Michael. You don't want to be on the wrong side of Michael. And here he is. And he stands up. And the word stand up there is not simply that he's seated and now he's standing. The idea there is that he steps up. And with him steps up a mighty army of invincible angelic beings. And they are about to take action on behalf of a little beleaguered group of people on earth who don't even see them. They can't even see these people who are fighting for them. So in heaven, there is this great warrior who arises to fight for God's people. And the reason that he is arising to fight for God's people is that they are in a time of great trouble. We talked already about the fierceness of this trouble. These people have never, ever experienced the level of intensity of the fierceness of the trouble that they're experiencing at the time Michael arises in the future. Now think about that. I mean, here are people, a nation, and their whole history has been a time of trouble, hadn't it? Egypt, wasn't that a time of trouble? Exodus 2, they're crying out to the Lord by reason of their bondage. Assyria comes along, and Assyria didn't come to play checkers with them. They came, and it was not a good scenario. And 10 tribes were taken off into captivity. In Daniel's day, Babylon came. Daniel is looking down the prophetic pathway, and he sees more trouble on the horizon. In the kingdom of Persia, there's going to be a man named Haman who's going to rise up and bring trouble to this nation. In the days of Greece, in the kingdom of Syria, there's going to be a man named Antiochus Epiphanes IV who's going to bring great trouble to this nation. In the days of the fourth kingdom, there's going to be a Roman general who's going to come, and he's going to burn the city to the ground. He's going to burn the temple to the ground after they crucify Jesus Christ. Fast forward 1,000 or so more years, and there's trouble in almost every place these people go. In our own day and age, not many decades ago, in the land of Germany, this nation experienced a Holocaust. There has been great trouble for this nation. Have you ever experienced great trouble in your life? Do you feel like it's just over and over and over? Here's a nation that is experiencing great trouble, and Daniel is being told there is more to come, and the more to come is going to be worse than anything that has come. Well, what are God's people going to do? Well, in the book of Exodus, we read about that trouble in the day of Moses. In the book of Jeremiah, we read about that trouble in the day of Jeremiah and the Babylonian captivity. But in Zechariah chapter 13, we go all the way forward to that time. We're reading about here in verse 1. And Zechariah says, it is going to be so fierce, it is going to be so intense, that 2/3 of the entire nation alive at that time will be slaughtered. 2/3. Only 1/3 will remain. How is anybody going to survive? How do you survive this? And the answer is, there is a champion in heaven who stands up, and he brings an army with him. Why is all of this trouble coming on these people? What is going on? If I'm Daniel, I want to know what is going on. From a human perspective, we know the Antichrist because we met him at the end of chapter 11. We know the Antichrist and his forces are pursuing and destroying many of God's people. We read about that in Daniel chapter 11, verses 44 and 45. We saw it in Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 through 26. This diabolically energized man is going to wear down this nation. He's going to wear out God's people. But there's something behind him. There's a spiritual perspective of all of this. There is a dragon, and there is demonic forces that are energizing all of this. And we read about it in Revelation chapter 12, verses 13 through 17. Let me read that text to you. If you have a copy of God's Word, let me have you turn there to Revelation 12. Listen to what John records about what Daniel saw. When the dragon saw, that's Satan, that he had been thrown down to earth. When did that happen? When Michael the archangel stood up. When the thing we're reading about in chapter 12, verse 1 actually happens, the outcome of all of that is favorable to God's people. This dragon and his entire army is defeated, and he is cast down to the earth. And when he saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Who is that woman? Well, in Revelation, she represents the nation of Israel. Who is the child that God said he would send? Unto us his son is given, unto us a child is born, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Who is that? It's Jesus. Here is this dragon, and he has been pursuing the woman that gave birth to this child, but the woman was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness to the place where she is to be nourished for a time. Now note the word serpent there. The first time you saw that word was in Genesis, wasn't it? It was the serpent who brought about all of this. And in Genesis 3, God said to Eve, I'm going to give you a son, and when that son arises, he is going to crush the head of this serpent. Here is the serpent at the very end of the age. She is sent to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. Boy, that number has come up in Daniel a couple of times, hasn't it? The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away in a flood. But the earth came to help the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon poured out from his mouth. Then the dragon became furious and raged with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring. Well, who are those? To those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Moses. Is that what the text says? And hold to the testimony of Jesus. These are Christians. These are people outside the Jewish race. So obviously, the Antichrist is up to something on a human level. The serpent is up to something on a spiritual level. But God is up to something on a divine level. What is God up to? God is orchestrating and using all of this in the lives of his people. Why? Why all of this trouble that he is orchestrating and he is carrying out on his people? Well, from a human perspective, we saw the Antichrist is trying to eradicate the nation. From Satan's perspective, he's trying to destroy the Son, who is coming to destroy him. But God is up to something much bigger and something much better. You know what God is up to? He is going to use all of this trouble and all of this pressure to shatter something in his people, to make an end of something in his people. He is going to shatter their rebellion, and he is going to make an end to their sin. Have you ever longed for God to make an end of the sin that so easily besets you? Have you just ever at times cried out to God, God, why do I just keep doing this over and over and over and over, and I can't seem to get the victory over this thing? You're repentant. And this text that we're talking about is not talking to you. This is talking about a people who know God, who God has sent his son to, and when he came unto his own, and the Bible says his own what? Received him not. These are people who have the Torah, the law of God. And Paul says in Romans chapter 2, you're using the Torah of God to heap up God's wrath on you. And God is looking at these people who are doing that, and he's remembering his promise to them, and he is going to shatter all of that rebellion. He's going to shatter all of that pride. He is going to humble them.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker is Dr. Sam Horn. He's the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. If you live locally, come join one of our morning worship services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. every Sunday. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about today's message or about Palmetto Baptist Church, reach out to radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is recorded by the audio team at PBC and produced by CJ Billieu. Join us again next time, so together we can grow in grace.